May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my strength, thy Redeemer. I was just reading over some stuff this morning in my time with the Lord and had read something that we'd written a while back, and it ministered to me so much, I thought, this is a fresh word. If it's truth, it's always a fresh word, right? So this is from Ephesians chapter 5. And this is a section of scripture. This is like the wedding section. This is where almost every preacher ever talks about when they're doing a wedding. But I just want to pick. I'll just read through this so you can catch what I'm going to be trying to say. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, the church, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all of her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. Husbands also ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. That's an important statement about a husband. If you love your wife, you love your own wife. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church. In this next verse, verse 30, this is what the King James says, and I like it so much better. It's more accurate. Because we are of his flesh and bone of his bones. For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. The mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and his church. It says in 1 Corinthians that when we come to Christ, we become one spirit with him. Says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, just as he is, so are we in this world, because we're the bride of Christ. And the analogy in this section of Scripture is very clear, that if when a man marries a woman, they become one flesh. And then it talks about her role, but in talking about his role, which likens to Christ's role and how Christ loves the church, because even says, even as Christ loved the church, the bride of Christ, then a husband should love his wife. And if when you love your wife, you love yourself, and when you love the church, Jesus is saying, what? You love yourself. And then he talked about the role of the wife and the husband. He said, your role in loving your wife that you're one with is to nourish her and cherish her. And then he references again the church. Again, no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are of his flesh and bone of his bones. This mystery is great. I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church. So the real topic here in this section of Scripture is not husband's wife, it's Christ and his church. And if you get Christ and his church to become one, then you can understand better a husband's and a wife's relationship with each other. The word nourish is obvious. Let's reference this to Christ and his church. Just like Christ does his church, husbands should nourish and cherish their wives. We know that Jesus nourishes us, that in him is our provision, that all grace is resident in him, that we'll never face anything. We'll never face a temptation. We'll never face a difficult relationship. We'll never face a circumstance or a situation where we know, where Jesus doesn't provide us in him the grace to deal with it. Not just to deal with it, to be victorious in it. Christ is our source. He is the banqueting table. He's my life. All that he is, I have. All that he has, I have. We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places where? In Christ. And we've given everything that pertains to life and godliness. We're partakers of the divine nature over and over again. The scripture just makes it so clear that if I'm one with Christ, as Christ is my life, if I'm in union with him, then everything he is my inheritance. And for every situation and for every need, I get to draw from him who is my life, his adequacy, to know victory in that situation and circumstance. We should never just get by the day or talk about some situation to somebody and go, well, that was really tough, but I managed to get through it. That's not how Christians live. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is the overcomer. He lives in us. We don't get by. We overcome in Christ. It should be never a close call. It should be a slam dunk win. That's who Jesus is. It's not about whether you're big enough, whether you're adequate enough, or whether you can take it. He can take it. He can overcome it. He's more than big enough. That's the Christian life. That's what it means for him to nourish us. He provides. He makes provision for every need. And I'm one with him. But it also says that a husband should nourish, not just nourish his wife, but cherish her, just like Christ did the church. The word cherish is a word in the Greek that means warm. It's about the emotional, affirming, acceptance, celebrating part of a husband's role with his wife. I remember years ago when I first moved to Selma, and I was talking to someone about his relationship with his wife, and he had never told her that he loved her. And so I was talking to him about it, and I said, your wife doesn't think that you love her. And he says, well, I do love her. He said, but you never tell her. You've never once told her you love her. He said, well, I mean, I'd nourish her. I'd provide this, a nice home, a nice that. And he said, I just can't do that. And I said, well, I told him, well, that's demonic. Now, we were never friends again. I didn't mean for him not to be friends. I was trying to help. But he couldn't tell his wife. He couldn't affirm her. He couldn't cherish her. Here's the thing that amazes me, is that Jesus' heart is always warm towards us. And that's got nothing to do with your performance. Again, he who loves his own wife loves himself. No one ever hated his own flesh. We are bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it. Jesus loves us the same way he loves himself. Jesus likes you just as much as he likes himself. And therefore, if you don't, then you're in disagreement with Jesus and you need to repent. See, that's hard to repent of because we live with such a sin consciousness. We have, all we think about is what we don't get right. And if that's the way you think, you're never going to get it right. But you see, Jesus knows who we are in him. We know that we're his bride. And so he believes in us. And he cherishes us. One of the things I loved about David is David was a man after God's own heart, even though he blew it really bad. Really bad. And yet, even after the failures in his life and the places where he blew it really bad, not just with Bathsheba, but in other ways, towards when he was about 60 years old, he lived to be 70, he said about himself, I know that God delights in me. You see, I believe that's when you're a man. He wasn't just a man after God's own heart. He had actually captured God's own heart. Because that's God's heart. That he doesn't become cold towards you because you don't get it perfect. He cherishes you. And nothing you can do to make him stop cherishing you. Doesn't mean it doesn't matter what you do. We can grieve his heart, but he doesn't stop cherishing you. But he knows that in the cherishing you, and you're knowing that he likes you as much as he likes himself, he loves you as much as he likes himself, He knows that's the thing that's going to call us forth into acting like the bride of Christ that we are. Condemnation never changes anybody. Except in the only thing condemnation does is cause Christians to become hidden people. They learn to go through the motions, go to the right places, sing the right songs, hang out with the right people, and wear veils so that nobody knows the torment they're going living with on the inside because they feel like an abject failure. Nobody ever changes when they feel like that. So it's important for you to know today that Jesus loves you as much as he loves himself. Therefore, it doesn't offend you. It doesn't offend him. It's not an absence of humility for you to love yourself and like yourself as much as Jesus loves yourself and likes yourself. It's actually rebellion to not be in agreement with him and to believe that we can discern more than him. That's a big deal. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.